This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring a discussion on Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement between India and United Kingdom. The participants are Dr. Ajay Sahai, Director General and CEO, Federation of Indian Export Organizations, and Sharad Kohli, Economic Analyst. The moderator is Sishir Sinha, Senior Journalist.
Namaskar. Welcome to Akashvani. India and United Kingdom have signed Free Trade Pact, better known as Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement or CETA. It aims to double the bilateral trade by 2030 to US$112 billion. With 26 chapters finalized, it is expected to unblock pound sterling 28 billion in additional trade, drive a pound sterling 3.3 billion uplift to UK GDP, and support up to 1 million jobs across both economies. Prime Minister Narendra Modi hailed this agreement and called it historic.
हमारे संबंधों में एक ऐतिहासिक दिवस है. मुझे प्रसन्नता है कि कई वर्षों की मेहनत के बाद दोनों देशों के बीच कॉम्प्रिहेंसिव इकोनॉमिक एंड ट्रेड एग्रीमेंट संपन्न हुआ है.
To discuss about this agreement, we have with us Mr. Ajay Sahai. He is a Director General and CEO, FIO. And we have with us in studio Mr. Sharad Kohli, Economic Analyst. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Sahai, let me start with you. What are the three significant outcomes from CETA for UK?
The most significant outcome is that this agreement is providing India greater market access, not only confined to the goods, but also to the services. And when I'm looking into India's trade with UK, it's dominated by the services. And the goods sectors also, the emphasis on the labor-intensive sector, which in turn will benefit Indian MSMEs. So whether we are talking about apparel, textiles, footwear, gems and jewelry, furniture, toys, sports goods, or the sunrise sectors like pharma, chemical, auto component, machinery or engineering goods, both tends to gain a lot from this agreement. And secondly, when I'm looking into the services, it will provide a great push to services export, not only the IT and IT-enabled services, but financial services, professional services like architecture, engineer, and educational services. The short-term visa will provide greater mobility to Indian professionals, including yoga teachers, chefs, musicians, and other contractor service provider. I'm also looking into the UK trade deal as a template for India-EU trade deal, except with some exception in agriculture and dairy sector, because here we have not conceded anything and nor UK is very firm in these sectors. Okay. So beside that, I think this agreement will provide a further fillip to India to negotiate with EU very quickly. It will also send a very positive signal to the entire world that India is looking outwardly and India is now open for free trade agreement, and that is required in the country, not only just to push the trade, but also to seek investment, because global companies are coming to India, not only to just look into the Indian market, but also use India as a hub for their global exports.
Okay. Commerce Minister Piyush Goyal has said India-UK FTA will spur investment on both sides. Let us listen what he has to say.
This will spur investments on both sides, because given the certainty and stability that a free trade agreement provides, it is quite obvious that manufacturers, MSMEs, our food processing industry, textile industry, all of them can now look for long-term contracts and long-term business potential.
Now, Mr. Kohli, what is your take on outcomes?
Well, I feel, Shishir, that over the last 3.5 decades, I have witnessed a lot of FTAs being signed by India across the world. You know, when you call a free trade agreement as free, a lot of people think that probably the import and export is going to become totally free, which is obviously not the case. But if there was one of those agreements who came closest to being free, I think it was this one. So this is a landmark deal. It took 4 prime ministers of United Kingdom to finalize this deal. It was hanging in balance for a number of years. And finally, I'm so glad. And I think a common man in India, for him, you know, or her, it may not have any direct relevance. But as a country, as an economy, I think it carries a lot of relevance. And the benefit of this kind of deal is going to reach the common man also. And I would, with your permission, I would like to cite an example here.
Please.
There is a place in South India, it's called Tirupur, which is known for textiles. And ever since, you know, this whole US thing started, yeah. the tariff war, which is going on, the reciprocal tariffs declared by the Trump administration. A lot of factories in Tirupur. In fact, I got a chance to visit one of those factories a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I met some of the manufacturers. They said there's so much of uncertainty. They had to clear their shipments in the month of March, April, before these tariffs came into effect when the 90 days deadline was given. So a lot of these ladies who were involved in the manufacturing process, they had to sit back home. In fact, the manufacturer had to say, because they were exclusively dealing with US. So the ladies had to sit back home that now there is no work because our garments have become more expensive in the US. And I think with 1 million jobs being anticipated in Indian economy after this deal culminates on the ground. At this point, Shishir, I would like to mention that a lot of people do not know that this deal needs ratification from the British Parliament.
Exactly.
Which can take a few months. Sometimes it can take longer because it becomes a political issue. And, you know, there are groups in the UK who are anti-India. So they try and block this kind of a deal. But the two prime ministers, I think the political and the diplomatic establishment have done their task. The ground is set. It is just a matter of, I feel it's a formality, although it may take longer. So these ladies now getting back to jobs when the deal becomes effective. That is my first take. As far as Indian consumers are concerned, I think a lot of consumers, we have lovers in these metro cities who love British products. And when I mentioned ladies, I would also like to mention another strata of ladies. I met a lady yesterday who was fond of Molton Brown, who was fond of NARS, who was fond of Charlotte Tilbury cosmetic brands. And they used to find it very expensive. And now after this deal culminates, these products are going to become cheaper. But more than that, as we all know, 90% of the products coming from the UK to India will now go on concession on an average down from 15% to 3%. But 99% of Indian products landing in the UK, I think will become cheaper and we should duty free. But people who understand duty free, as I said, it's not that tomorrow duty free shops will be set and you can start to go. And as I said, this will take time to culminate on ground, but a ground has been set, a platform has been set.
And in fact, that's a very valid point because everybody is thinking that now the deal has been signed, it's going to be.
So from tomorrow.
From tomorrow. That's not going to happen. It will take time because it needs certification. From both the side. Yep. I mean, of course, the first level of protocol is done.
Yes.
Now the next level of protocol has to be done. Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri, while briefing the media yesterday, said that the agreement will open trade and investment opportunities in both the countries.
This landmark agreement will significantly increase trade and investment and economic cooperation between the two countries by lowering tariffs in key sectors, including labor-intensive sectors in India like textiles, leather, footwear, agricultural products, marine products, sports products, toys, gems and jewelry, and others. Apart from trade and investment, it would also strengthen innovation and technology collaboration.
Foreign Secretaries also said that the agreement will strengthen the defense ties between India and UK.
Both leaders welcomed today the adoption of the Defense Industrial Roadmap, which will open up enormous opportunities for joint collaboration for defense industries of both sides. A memorandum of understanding was signed between the Central Bureau of Investigation of India and the UK National Crime Agency. Finally, both leaders also expressed great happiness at the increasing collaboration in new and emerging technologies between the two countries, particularly telecom, AI and critical minerals.
Mr. Sahai, one important thing is about the goods. You talked about goods, you talked about services also. If I ask you specific goods where India really has edge and the manufacturer, they can take advantage of the situation. So can you list few goods where the India has real good edge?
In fact, I personally feel that in apparel sector, we have the edge. We will have level playing field with some of our neighbors also, who either because of the LDC but for arms, we're getting preferential treatment in the UK market. With some of the countries, we will have much better position. For example, if you're talking about the footwear, carpets, automobile, in the marine sectors also, we have huge opportunity coming in. And that's why I'm saying that it's not just confined to the traditional exports. Some of the India's sunrise sectors of exports are also likely to gain a lot. Particularly in auto component segment, we are quite bullish about the market. But I personally also feel that since the trade is dominated by the services, and India being an English-speaking country and we too are part of the Commonwealth, I'm looking into much more gain in the services in this agreement as against any earlier agreement. And from that perspective, this agreement also holds a special significance for all of us.
Okay. Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal said that the landmark agreement will open the floodgate of opportunities, including services sector.
ये भारत में अपार अवसर खोलेगा हमारे किसानों के लिए, MSMEs के लिए, छोटे उद्यमियों के लिए, युवा युवतियों को नए अवसर मिलेंगे और सेवा के क्षेत्र में भी अब बहुत बड़ी छलांग भारत UK के अंदर अपने services sectors में ले पाएगा.
In fact, my next question was on services only, Mr. Kohli. And since we are good in English speaking, and also the cost level is slightly lower than various other economies, and last few years we have seen that there are some competition from South Asian economies. Do you think that this agreement is giving much more advantage to the Indian labor force as compared to people from South Asia or Southeast Asia?
Shishir, each country reserves the right of protecting its own skill and skill workforce. So architecture, accounting, legal services, IT services, of course, we already have a prowess in IT services. So we will find professionals from our country and their country being more freely able to set up their practices, set up their businesses, render their professional services, which was until now not happening. For example, law services in the UK are extremely expensive. And it's just a matter of coincidence that I am, for example, a chartered accountant from India and the UK both. Mm-hmm. So I, for that matter, know that how expensive it can be to hire a lawyer or an accountant in the United Kingdom. Now, if Indian lawyers and accountants are given a chance to practice there, and if Indian qualifications get recognized, because one of the things which Prime Minister spoke later in his address was that it opens for defense, it opens for education, it opens for across the board, a business being done between the two countries. So if Indian professionals can practice there, I think that will open floodgate of opportunities, because as of now, if you're an Indian, for example, lawyer, you are an Indian chartered accountant, you need to upgrade your educational skills there, clear certain examination. And only then you can work over there. I think this trade agreement will also open the doors on that front. And I think the possibilities will be tremendous. And, I was also very emotionally moved by this deal, because this was the country who had ruled over us for 200 long years. And some time ago, they were the fifth largest. And remember, we overtook this economy. We are now there about 3.8 trillion. We are now 4 trillion plus, for that matter. We are now the fourth largest. So, although having said that, I would say that we are shoulder to shoulder. But in terms of population, their population is 5% of our population. So when somebody was asking me, Shishir, which country out of the two is going to benefit more? So I said, obviously, it will be India. And for the simple reason, because we are 142 crore people country. They are a 7 crore country. And we should also not forget a very important point here. We are growing at 6.5-7%. They are growing at barely 1%. In fact, some of the experts say that UK is effectively growing below zero, because a lot of people there are losing jobs. The utility bills remain unpaid.
And inflation is also...
Inflation is very high. People are not able to stay on. And the recent news was that a lot of ultra-rich people over the last 2 years have left UK because of taxation and other things. UK needed this deal more than India at this point. However, when we started negotiating for this deal, four prime ministers of UK ago, it was the other way around. But now, I think, and a very important factor, Shishir, which is very interesting to notice, this whole US stalemate between India-US trade deal, which has been in the limbo for a long time now, we keep hearing about it, the US trade reciprocal tariffs is bringing the countries closer and quicker. Because tomorrow, if we may lose the US business, we at least have, between ourselves, we should quickly get into a deal. So I think we can partly thank Trump administration that we are getting closer to that.
So that's a non-dollar group is
absolutely
joining hands, and they are
absolutely
going for that. Mr. Sahai, one fine print was that 75,000 workers will not have to pay social security there. And also the other thing is that 1,800 visas to be issued to professionals like musician and yoga instructor. How do you see these two things?
We are looking into greater mobility of professionals from India to UK to travel for work, to attend events or even for transition between office. This will not only just benefit the chefs or yoga instructor, even architect, engineers, musician, all will be benefited. And the, additionally, is the Social Security Convention, which now allows employees who are in the UK up to 3 years not to contribute to home country's social security system, will be definitely a gainer for the professional who unfortunately have to contribute to social security in India as well as in the country in which they are operating. So from that perspective, I think this will be a huge relief to all the professionals, and probably we will see these kinds of trend emerging even India US BT also, because in the past we have talked to the US also on these lines.
Okay, let us now listen to Abhijit Chakravarty, who is a prominent cultural ambassador for Indian arts in Scotland, on this FTA.
It is not just a business deal, it is actually a cultural bridge. This agreement actually opens doors for artists, the filmmakers, musicians to collaborate between these two great nations. It will create a cultural bond between these two great nations. Hats off and grateful to our Honorable Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji, whom actually I was fortunate enough to meet him personally a few years ago here in Scotland, to work relentlessly in this area, along with great support from our UK government, Sir, and the Prime Minister, Sir Starmer.
On India-UK Free Trade Agreement, founder and CEO of Mercom Capital Group, Raj Prabhu, says,
"It looks like a win-win situation. I don't know all the details yet. But more than that, I see this as a very good model, how two countries can cooperate and come up with a solution that is beneficial for industries in both the countries. We are talking about a world right now where there are so many trade disputes going on right now. The approach here is a lot more diplomatic, and I think it's a good model actually for the rest of the world to follow. How the current US model is, which is a lot more confrontational, here it's a lot more diplomatic. I think it's a win-win for both the countries and the rest of the world as a model."
Let us now listen to Vishant Das, who is an entrepreneur and hotelier based in Scotland, what he has to say on the FTA.
मैं स्कॉटलैंड में पिछले 20 साल से रह रहा हूँ और यहाँ पे मैं एक बिजनेसमैन हूँ. हमारा खुद का होटल एंड चेन ऑफ रेस्टोरेंट है. श्री नरेंद्र मोदी जी और मिस्टर स्टार्मर के द्वारा जो इतिहास रचा गया है ना, वो अनबिलेबल है. इससे हमें आने वाले दिन में बहुत ही ज्यादा फायदा होने वाला है, बिकॉज ये 0% ट्रेड डील है बिटवीन बोथ द कंट्री. क्योंकि हम इसी इंडस्ट्री से जुड़े हुए हैं, तो हमारा ये जो ऐतिहासिक कदम जो उठाया गया, इससे हमें बहुत फायदा होगा आने वाले दिन में. बट थैंक यू सो मच बोथ कंट्री हु सपोर्टेड एंड यू हेल्प टू ग्रोइंग माई स्मॉल बिजनेस टू ए लार्ज बिजनेस.
आर एस कंवर, हु इज CMD ऑफ एलेंजर्स मेडिकल्स एंड चेयरमैन ऑफ एक्सपोर्ट प्रमोशन काउंसिल फॉर मेडिकल डिवाइसेज, has termed the India-UK FTA a landmark moment for Indian industries.
India-UK Free Trade Agreement is a landmark moment for Indian industry. It not only opens up zero duty access for key sectors like medical devices, but also fosters innovation, investment and collaboration. I see this as a great opportunity to expand our global footprint, strengthen supply chains and create high quality jobs back home. This is a win-win for both nations, driven by trust, technology and talent.
Mr. Kohli, the three sectors which are being talked in detail, one is the auto, the second one is alcohol, and the third one is the telecom sector. Which one of these three you think is much more important?
As far as auto sector is concerned, there's a lot of buzz around the auto sector, although telecom we are as good. We are good in so many other sectors, even agri products for that matter is a very, very key point of discussion.
So in fact, the agri I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but when it comes to auto, I think the lovers of Rolls-Royce or Aston Martins or Jaguar Land Rovers, I think they can expect, although there is a quota, if you're getting an electric vehicle from the UK, well, the duties right now range from 75% to more than 100%. They're going to come down significantly, but however, it will be on a quota basis. We are not going to allow unlimited entry and, you know, unregulated entry for that matter, to protect our own interests. But I think auto sector is one where we can expect, but we should keep in mind that it provides a similar opportunity for the Indian auto exporters in the UK as well. There's on one side, the UK-made cars or UK-made engines for that matter come to India. A similar opportunities come from the auto. So I feel out of the three sectors you mentioned, auto seems to be scoring above the others for the time being. Although Having said that, I would like to also say that sector rotation keeps happening in our country. We find for a particular quarter an auto sector is doing well, then for the second quarter we find the other sector overtakes, but for now auto seems. Another very important point, Shishir, I would like to mention is Indian federal procurements being opened for tenders to the extent of 4 lakh crores to the UK firms. I think UK firms have a very good opportunity. If you can provide your tenders at a competitive price, you stand a fair chance of winning a contract in India. And I think this is a very bold move from India, because this also shows intent of Indian government that we are opening our economy to the world contractors, to the world engineering firms. If you can't deliver at competitive prices, well, tender means whosoever gives the best wins the contract. So I think that is another very key point. A lot of people missed that point while we were talking of textiles, gems and jewelry, footwear, leather and so on and so forth. I think that is one aspect. Of course, you mentioned about the alcohol as well. Well, some of the lovers of Scotch whiskey and, well, the duty coming down from 150% to 75%. I think they'll wait for those 10 years when it will be brought down to 40% for that matter. So, but as far as the volumes are concerned, I feel auto sector outshines the buzz out of all the three sectors.
Okay, Mr. Sahid, there is one apprehension that if we talk about the auto sector, that means more and more luxury cars will come from UK and India will be able to export more and more what we call as the middle segment car. Yeah. Is it correct to say?
Absolutely, because if you look into the concession which India has provided, the steepest cut which we have provided is for the luxury car. And then followed by the mid-size car or the small-size car, because our sensitivities are little different. If you look into the UK side, they have more or less restricted the car above the value of £80,000. So while they are protecting the luxury car segment, we are protecting to some extent our mid-size or the small-size segment, because the priority of the two countries are different in this area.
And interesting to note that one of the big luxury brand is owned by Indian company. That's what
absolutely, absolutely.
So it's a kind of win-win situation, because you are also exporting and you are importing from the same group.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, Mr. Kohli, let me talk about the agriculture sector, farm sector, agriculture and the allied sector, because it's a very sensitive sector. So what kind of takeaway for the agriculture sector from this deal?
The biggest issue we speak in agriculture sector, the difference between our agriculture and the Western countries, is that forward integration, as we call it in management. Suppose you grow potatoes and there is a chips factory which is set up nearer to the farm. So we call that as processed food. So I think opening up of the processed food, bringing down the duty to zero in UK in processed food, will open floodgates of opportunities, because agriculture sector as of now, of course, exporting the basic staple food and so corns and other stuff is there. But we are speaking of processed food in particular, that foods which are made out of our agriculture basic produce. I think they will gain a lot of traction there, considering the fact, Shishir, out of what you just said, because inflation is hitting the UK 7 crore population of UK very hard. So in that situation, suppose they are buying a packet of potato chips for, let's say, £5. And a potato chips manufactured in our country lands up there at £1 or £2. So I think it's a win-win situation. So somebody was asking me yesterday that with the UK economy going so slow, how will the demand for our products, which we've opened up, spring up from that country? So my answer to that question was that in the era when your economy is not doing well, the capital investment is not coming, which means I am not getting factories which industrialists can set up and manufacture those products. In that situation, if a country like India can supply the product at a price which their pockets can afford. So I thought when they are suffering from inflation, so another school of thought is when inflation is there, our products become more viable there, because they can buy. If they can't buy a chips packet for £5, £10, they can easily buy something which costs them £1 or £2. So I think that's the magic of Indian pricing. And in the same context, I would like to say that the size of India-UK trade and the size of China-UK trade, China is double the size of Indian trade as of now. So I think India will be able to now compete very, very effectively with the Chinese imports being done in the UK. You will find people putting their fingers on the Indian products instead of the Chinese product. I've been to stores in the UK. There's a store, for example, called Primark, where you get clothes and a lot of accessories. And most of the products were either from China or from Bangladesh. On an odd shelf, you might find Indian product, but you will find Indian products taking place on more and more shelves in the stores like Primark in UK going forward.
But one thing, Mr. Sai, when we talk about that we are going to compete with China, like Mr. Kohli was talking about, but China has big advantage in terms of what we call as the economy of scale, and also in terms of the cost competitiveness. Where do you see we have the advantage if we talk about economy of scale as well as the cost advantage?
I entirely agree with you on the economy of scale. On the cost, I'm not agreeing with you, because cost in China has gone up sharply. The wages in China has increased substantially. Up to a point, China has offsetted the increasing wages with high productivity, but there is limit to that. China is now following stricter environment norms also. Companies have been asked to move away from the coastal areas to the interior, which has increased their transportation cost also. With one child norms, where now the youth is preferring the services, they are having challenges in the manufacturing. Some of the employment intensive sector, on their own, they are exiting the sector. And that's why the opportunity lies with India. Now, if we want to utilize the full benefit of the free trade agreement, I think Indian industry needs to scale up the production. And in some of the sector, we may be requiring more investment to flow. That's why we are of the view that now with this kind of agreement, government has put the ball in the court of the industry. And industry has to work hard to augment the production, meet the competitive production so that they can enjoy the benefit of the free trade agreement being offered by the government.
But Mr. Sai, one more thing here. If we talk about China, I mean, the kind of monetary flexibility they have in terms of the valuing their currency, they can go on any extreme if we talk about the cost competitiveness. Isn't a fear for India?
I don't think, because the Chinese system is quite opaque system. That's why I'm saying that China is not a good example, because it's better to compare with market economies. And I entirely agree with you, though in the competition we have to factor China, but we need not to follow China in number of areas. If you look into the currency, with recent depreciation happening, rupee is also providing a lot of comfort to the exporter, and rupee above 85 is a fairly good value of rupee to make our exports competitive. If you look into the real effective exchange rate of rupee, which used to be 108 roughly 6-7 months back, has come down to as low as 101. That means rupee is just overvalued by certain fractions.
Okay. Mr. Kohli, now the big issue is about India-US trade deal. Going by the negotiation we have seen between India and UK, what kind of deal we are going to have with India and UK? Can we see something what we are seeing here?
Well, I think this deal has set a precedent, I would say. And if I was US, hypothetically speaking, I would have learned at how deals are done. I'm saying it in a very positive way. I don't mean to sound critical to the US administration, because the way things have been, India has very categorically drawn red line in agri and dairy. See, we are, half of our workforce comes from agriculture. 60 to 70% of our population directly or indirectly depends on agriculture. We cannot allow genetically modified crops here of maize and other stuff. We cannot allow meat-based fodder for our cattle. So there are sentimental issues, there are structural issues, there are financial and economic issues. So I think that red line, any country, and you know, the difference between I've seen in this government is that we know what we have to say. We are not standing before you with folded hands like the deal with the UK happened. Mm-hmm. It happened, you know, they appreciated that agri and all that as well within our right to restrain you. I think US will have to respect on similar terms, which is why I said that this will be a precedent for US. This will also be a precedent for the forthcoming EU deal.
Yeah, in fact, that's the question which I am going to ask from Mr. Sahai. Mr. Sahai, what's the signal for India-EU deal?
I think definitely it should facilitate India-EU deal. UK was part of the EU, and UK continued to have a customs union with EU till 2021. For UK, we were getting similar concession EU also. That's why I'm saying that this can be used as a template. Though, of course, when it comes to agriculture and dairy products, probably EU will be more demanding than the UK.
Mr. Sahai, Mr. Kohli, thank you very much for talking to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement between India and United Kingdom. The participants were Dr. Ajay Sahai, Director General and CEO, Federation of Indian Export Organizations, and Sharad Kohli, economic analyst. The moderator was Sishir Sinha, senior journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.